Now let's talk. I've got through communication with certain people who I won't name are close enough to know Tim Harper's situation.
Okay.
It's disappointing. My understanding is there's not a court date set. Law Shield, I think, was this
U.S. Law Shield.
U.S. Law Shield, which is this gun rights group that claims that you join us, we'll be there if you get in trouble. Mm-hmm. My understanding is he is no longer represented by them.
Okay. Well, U.S. Law Shield is not a gun rights group per se. They market themselves as being a firearms legal defense program.
Okay.
They're not insurance per se, but they provide services similar to, say, a prepaid legal type scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And they are there to protect primarily gun owners, but if you use any object that you're legally allowed to possess in a self-defense scenario, they will cover you for all your legal expenses.
Okay. But they are no longer representing him, is my understanding.
That is correct. For a long time, Mr. Harper was not a member of U.S. Law Shield.
Yeah.
For instance, when he had his incident in Tulsa at the Pride event last year.
Yeah.
He was not a Law Shield member at the time. Okay. When he was taken into custody, he was responsible for bailing himself out of jail.
Sure.
And so on. Now, there was some question after this incident that he was involved in on the 2nd of November,
mm-hmm.
as to who would potentially defend him or help him out. I don't know the background on how U.S. Law Shield became involved. Mm-hmm. I know that their lead attorney, Mr. Robert Robles, their lead attorney for Oklahoma, assisted his private attorney at his bond reduction hearing.
Yes.
Which, you know, they were able to get his bond reduced from $100,000 cash only to $100,000.
Now, how many people did he put in the hospital that it's $100,000? Did he kill a few people?
No, he didn't put anyone in the hospital, didn't kill anyone, didn't, you know, traumatize anyone.
How much did he steal? Did he burn down a hotel or something?
No, he didn't burn down anything. There was no violence or malice in what he did. In fact, there was no intention to break a law in what he did. I've said this before and I'll say it again. He committed a crime of ignorance and not of intent.
Okay, so he did not harm anybody.
No.
The statutory code that, and most people, I was not aware of this, was I guess you had to know a business's marketing strategy and their books to know whether or not the majority of their business came from liquor sales. Because certain laws kick in if they're majority liquor industry versus selling tacos.
Okay. That's sort of a common misconception we have here in Oklahoma.
Okay.
I like to use Texas as a compare and contrast example in this. When you go to places in Texas that are defined as a bar,
yeah,
you will see signs in English and in Spanish, giant red numbers, 51%, indicating that at least 51% of their revenue comes from alcohol sales.
Okay, and that's supposed to be your legal notice
that
any law, any statute that kicks in applies to this business. This business now is identifying legally.
Right, they're letting you know that this is a bar, that the majority of their revenue comes from alcohol sales, and as such, firearms are forbidden.
And I assume Oklahoma's done the same thing, right?
Right, but we have different language. We don't have a percentage requirement in Oklahoma.
Hmm.
The way it's written and worded in Oklahoma is that alcohol sales must be the primary purpose of the establishment.
Well, I would think primary means majority.
You would think. Or what is it that they intend to do? You know, it is our intent to sell alcohol as our primary activity versus places that, you know, also sell alcohol as a separate activity.
Mm.
You know, and there are all sorts of places in Oklahoma that fit that description, many of which most people would never even think that applies to.
Yeah. Yeah, depending on the convention, my hotel, if I ran a hotel, their bar was, oh man, open bar?
Right, and when,
cash bar?
When it comes to that, then it's a matter of, is the bar in the hotel a separate establishment, and does that separate establishment have the liquor license, or does the hotel have the liquor license?
But if that bar rolls a cart out into the ballroom, and now they're doing liquor sales in the ballroom. Mm-hmm. You know, is that part of the hotel, you know? So, okay, so we got some really murky things here.
And so
that it's very reasonable for a defense to be, Your Honor, we had no idea that we had walked into an establishment that fits this description because the owner did not notify us that this is who they are.
Right. And in Oklahoma, they have no responsibility to make that notification. And the section of law that is pertinent to this that Mr. Harper violated, it's not for bars. It's not for places where the primary activity is alcohol sales because, you know, you just can't have a firearm of any type there unless you own the place.
Yeah.
Or you're law enforcement.
Yeah.
So what it is, it's if you're talking about an establishment where alcohol is not the primary purpose, and the way it's worded is an establishment licensed to dispense alcohol, whether they sell it or not.
They have the license.
They have the license to do so.
Gotcha.
And this is a secondary purpose, and in which case, They list a bunch of different weapons. You know, they say brass knuckles, loaded cane, hand chain. But the important thing, any other offensive weapon. Mm-hmm. So basically, any weapon, any offensive weapon whatsoever, other than a handgun with a handgun license, is prohibited. In which case, it is a felony, penalty up to $1,000 fine, up to 2 years in prison.
Wait a minute. We have permitless carry now. You don't need a permit.
You do if you want to go into one of these establishments.
Well, how come they didn't explain that? I think we've got some splaining to do.
I think they do have some splaining
to
do.
Well, there's one for your legislature. We've got some cleanup language need to be done on a bill this session. I'm sure you can easily put that into a committee amendment into one of the bills that are already written, or I'm sure there's a shell bill. If not, Eccles. Eccles, he has the power to make certain things happen, and he many times has.
But
so that's a bullet point for our legislature.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, but I'd like to also point out that we do have some legislation coming up in this session involving the expansion of firearm carry rights to various other places, particularly college campuses and state capitol, among other places. And again, with these cases, it is with a license.
I just read a bill today. I didn't see where it said a license for the Capitol, but it said if you're retired law enforcement, you can.
Yeah.
And if you're a member of the legislature, you can.
Yeah.
So the legislature, I'm sorry, guys, but this is going to look kind of bad. You're carving out rights for yourself, but not for the rest of us.
Sounds like a 14th Amendment violation to me. How about that equal protection stuff?
Yeah. And, you know, I got to say, I've seen some great things out of the legislature in this last session, and hats off to them. In fact, we've got a bill. I don't know if you've read it. I don't even have the number. David Hardin, freshman representative out of Stillwell, if I remember right, basically nullifies all federal firearms laws that do not involve interstate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it reads like a Holy Ghost tent revival sermon for Second Amendment enthusiasts. Yeah. It's fantastic. And I just want to give Representative Hardin a plug for that.
Well, that's great that he's doing that.
Yeah.
And it's great that we have Senator Nathan Dom with his anti-red flag measures that are coming up.
In fact, I talked with Nathan Dom. We were at lunch on Wednesday. And he had not read Hardin's bill at that time, but I'm sure that's on his incredible reading list. But that's something I think is going to be a big, big issue. And get ready. If you're the chairman of whatever committee gets that, look out, folks. You bring in the folding chairs because a lot of us will be there for that committee meeting. So back to Tim Harper. he had to, if he wanted to get out of jail... on this, he had to get the bond reduced from $100,000.
Right.
And
cash only.
Yeah, cash only. And here's the deal. they struck a deal for him to finally give him his life back. Keep in mind, he's not been convicted of
it. No, not yet. Hasn't even had his day in court yet.
In fact, the prosecutor isn't even alleging that he victimized anybody.
No.
Right?
No.
Nobody's been harmed. He didn't even call somebody ugly. You know? But, so he had to give up, first of all, they denied him his Eighth Amendment right to reasonable bail.
Yes. Right? And I would say that keeping it at $100,000 is unreasonable.
Right. Given the fact there's no victim.
Yeah.
Okay.
And considering the more heinous crimes that take place in Oklahoma, where bail is set far lower than this.
Yeah, the high courts refer to things like this where it has to do with licensing and stuff as laws of prior restraint. Mm-hmm. That means no victimization is happening here, but we still think it's just and righteous to make people jump through these hoops under the guise of prior restraint. We are going to kind of suppress everybody's rights for safety. Yeah. So he had to give up a number of things.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Gave up his guns?
That is true.
All his guns are gone.
His guns are not in his possession. He has no access to them.
Okay.
Nor will he access somebody else's firearms.
Okay. Now, I haven't seen him tweeting or posting on Facebook or texting. Is that just because he doesn't like people? Or
he has not turned into a hermit. He is not suddenly antisocial. He has not become an introvert. That was also one of the stipulations, that he would not make further comment on his case. He would not talk about firearms or firearms issues.
Wait,
would not attend gun shows or go to gun ranges.
Okay. His right to peaceable assembly was taken away. His freedom of speech was immensely taken away. And his right to keep and bear arms is taken away, along with the excessive bail.
That's a pretty good laundry list of what was going on there.
I mean, I'm just trying to think, are there any of the Bill of Rights that David Prater has honored here?
Well,
I don't know.
I think it must be noted here that these stipulations were at Mr. Harper's suggestion. These are not things that the district attorney came up with and said, here are your conditions, you know, take it or leave it. These are things that Mr. Harper, through his representation, suggested to the court and Judge Elliott, saying, basically, we're willing to do these things. We're willing to work with you if you're willing to reduce the bail or the bond to something more reasonable.
Wow. So they took advantage of that. This is not a man of immense wealth and means, right?
Yes, I think that would be an accurate assessment.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
It could almost be argued that these are punitive actions against him.
Wow. How's he doing?
As far as I know, he's in good health, at least.
Now, is he working his day job now?
No. No. He is not, because of this issue and, you know, being incarcerated for a few days. I think he was in the county jailhouse for almost a week before his bond was reduced.
Kind of hard to keep your job if you don't show up for a week.
It is, and because of the controversy, if you will, over this.
Oh my goodness!
His employer.
Let's not talk about who the employer is.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about who they are, but they would prefer that he not come into work for the time being.
Sure. So he's out of a job. He was not a man of means, and he was spending what money he did have in free time doing his audits and his advocacy and his education,
right,
teaching people, you know, running the website and having all the gear.
And it should be noted that, you know, he had well over 20,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel. And with the ad revenue and whatnot, that was an additional, you know, revenue stream for him. I'm not sure how extensive it was, but, you know, that's severely curtailed now. He's not producing new material.
Okay. For the person who appreciates his advocacy, even if they don't agree with all his tactics, the advocacy, what can we do to show our solidarity to stand by Tim?
Well,
I think some encouragement right now would really help.
Definitely some encouragement. If anyone knows him, or someone who knows him is able to get in contact with him, I would say let him know that you understand his situation, that you support him, you think that it is not just unfortunate, but unfair what is being done to him.
Yeah.
You know, right, wrong, or otherwise, whether you have thoughts on did he break the law, did he not break the law, should he have done what he did, I think we all, or at least most of us, can agree that his treatment since then has been egregious, above and beyond what is necessary for this the thing that he's charged with or accused of. Mm-hmm. And you know, he could use some words of encouragement, and if anyone knows him on a personal level and can vouch for his character, mm-hmm. There are I believe his legal representation would appreciate written letters to that effect.
Okay. Could people post a comment or note to E Pluribus OTAP, your Facebook page? They want to get a hold of him or pass a message along. Can we do it through your Facebook page as a way for people to encourage him? Not that he would be involved in that social media.
Right. He wouldn't be involved, and I would hope that he wouldn't, knowing as we do, sort of the gag order that he's under, we would expect him not to interact.
You probably would have to cooperate for him to give message back, and you're right. Wiser than that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're saying,
That would be a place that you could do that. I'm sure it's something that he would have access to.
Okay.
Obviously some of his social media outlets are things that he's not maintaining at present.
Okay. So if somebody says, Tim, I want to get a hold of you, I've got some way to help, I may have a good attorney willing to come.
Right. Anything, from donations, if somebody wants to set up a GoFundMe type of situation. I know that some anonymous angel, if you will, offered to basically buy Tim's house from him, just to get him out of having to make those payments.
Oh my, yeah.
And so that's been a done deal. Basically, he has had to sell his house because of this situation. But luckily, he's been able to live with his significant other for some time. And so he's not destitute or homeless. But again, he's not working right now. And almost all of his efforts are focused on his legal defense for this thing.
Okay. So, but if some attorney, if you're an attorney out there, and you believe that the Bill of Rights are worth defending and Tim's actions are worth supporting, I'd encourage you to get a hold, go through E Pluribus OTAP on Facebook, Adrian OTAP's group, and pass along your contact information for Tim to reach out to you privately, and he can give you more details of just what his needs are. I'm doing this not because Tim has asked me. I've had no communication with him, because if Tim was in any way collaborating with me, he would be guilty of this restraining order kind of thing. That's the conditions of his parole. So I'm doing this causing trouble, if you will, for David Prater.
You rebel rouser.
And I'm not sorry, David Prater, and I live up here in Tulsa, so too bad.
Well, now the district attorney in Oklahoma County is going to accuse you of being in cahoots with this vile, dangerous racist who wants to start the great race war of 2020 in Oklahoma City, which I thought was just ridiculous of a thing for this man to be ranting and raving in the courtroom about.
Who's that?
David Prater. During the bond reduction hearing, he was just screaming these things at the top of his lungs, talking about things that had absolutely nothing to do with the actual crime that Mr. Harper is accused of.
Yeah.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, it is. And it was a performance put on for the bench. Let's do that, folks. If nothing else, go on over to E Pluribus OTAP on Facebook and send a message through his group to Tim Harper. He really could use some encouragement. It's in times like these that you feel very alone. You wonder if you've been forgotten. You wonder if you've been ever appreciated.
Absolutely. I can only imagine the situation he's in his mental state. I would feel heartbroken, saddened, angry, abandoned, if you will. Yes. It's a situation like this when you learn who your true friends are and who's going to stick with you through thick and thin, as they say.
Yeah.